This recording begins with the current version of the shir, continues on with a quick review of the shir, and then moves on to the last cycle of the Daf Yomi for the previous version of the shir, which of course has different people involved, a different ambience. You may want to hear both of them and use the second one as a chazar. You may actually prefer the previous cycle to this one's. Today's Daf is Masechet Avodah Zarah. We're holding a Daf Samachet, and we're in the middle of the sugya of Noten Tam Livgam. So yesterday we had a machloket between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Meir. So according to Rabbi Meir, even a Noten Tam Livgam is considered to be osir. The only time that the Torah would possibly be matir and would connect it to being Ru'uya Lager by Nevela is Dafka with Srucha Meikara. Rabbi Shimon says that's what we need a pasuk to tell me Srucha Meikara. It's not even considered to be earthly. Therefore, must be the Torah telling me that no ten tam livgam is mutter. And that's where we got up to. So today, we are holding on the third line. Now, Ula wants to define the machloket between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Meir to a particular case, namely, that machloket sheesh biyachol besof pogim. Where do we have a machloket? And this is the opposite of the way we've been assuming all along with the story of the Adashim. Where do we have a machloket? Dafka, where initially it was mashbiach, and then it was pogim. But if it was pogim mi'ikara, of course Rabbi Meir would be meida that it would be mutar. Now obviously, as Tosfos points out, Ula cannot hold that the machloket Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Shimon, is defined by the psukim. Because then it doesn't make sense. Where would we get the right to make that distinction? So therefore, he must be tiny, that it's all a machloket and svara. If it's a machloket and svara, you could say, okay, maybe they're only arguing in a case where there's a tzad iser. But this is Ula's approach. Eitve Rav Chaga l'Ula, how can you say that? What about the case we had of Yayin Shinafala Toch Hadashim, V'chomet Shinafala Toch Grisim, it's asur. Now, that's a case, indeed, where it's pogim yikar, and Rabbi Shimon is matir, but Rabbi Meir is asrim. V'ocha de pagam yikarahu, uplege. Over here, it starts off with a pagam. As soon as it falls in, it ruins the adashim. And you're claiming that everybody, in such a case, if it's pogim yikar, would be moda, and yet Rabbi Meir is not moda. Omra Ula, you know, this Chaga character doesn't even understand what people are saying. So he thinks he can ask Tiyuftas? I mean, don't you have to at least be mature enough to understand what you're listening to? Chaga lo meida yada mai kamer rabbanus. He doesn't have a clue to what people are talking about, and he goes around asking Tiyuftas. For God's sake, kachru mayaskinan, the case over there is talking about, kagon shana falatol grisim tsoninim. There it fell into the tzonin, and we said if it falls into tzonin, that's a cold bean salad. We call it cold bean, because in its gemara, it's tzonini. And then they went ahead, and v'hir ticham. Don't if it's v'hir ticham, then they ruined it. So nase kemishi yishbiach olapasov pagam v'yasur. Oh, indeed, we have historic precedent, as Barnea will tell us.
Harold Meiber came me the whole beautiful Kedat Shabbos. And everybody assumed that this was supposed to go on the plata, so he put the cold three-bean salad in it, and cooked it, and it could be everything.
All right, so that would be the case which is completely consistent with how it is that I've just explained it. Rabbi Yochanan says, "Bepogem ikar machloket." That no, the machloket is where it's pogem ikar. Now, what does that mean? The machloket only is where it's pogim ikar, even is where it's pogim ikar barlo. Are you saying that in a case where it's pogim ikar, only there is the machlokes? But if it was mashbiach al besof pogam, there's no machlokes, where Rabbi Shimon would be made it to Rabbi Meir, that since it was mashbiach initially, so then it's vaday aser. Odilma, bein bezu machloket. Or did Rabbi Yochanan mean to say that they would be arguing across the board, whether it was Pogim Lechatchila, whether it was Mashbiach? Rabbi Shimon always holds its mutter, and Rabbi Meir holds its osur. How do you know? How do you explain? Teiku. We don't know. Now, the truth is, we do know. We know from this whole sugya, we're going to prove it in a moment, we do know. The Torah says we could use the inyan of teku to mean at the time. It doesn't mean that maybe a generation later in a different place. At the time, when it was in that Beis HaMedrash, Rabbi Yochanan said it. They didn't know, so they said, fine, let that stand. But we're going to see now that we ultimately address this, and that, in fact, Rabbi Shimon is made that it's also. And it's not bein mezu, bein mezu machlok. Because if it's a shbiach b'tchila, we've been assuming all along, actually, in the sugya earlier. Omer of Amram. You know, I find this very interesting, that Rabbi Yochanan is saying that Rabbi Meir is chaylek, where even initially it's pogam. Is that reasonable, that this should be a chiddush of later generations and it shouldn't be clear from the Mishnah? I can't believe that. It's too fundamental. So, Evshe Itel Adar of Yochanan, Velo Tanya Lo B'Matnitin, is it really possible that we wouldn't find this among the Tanoim directly? So he went out to find. Nafak Dak, and sure enough, Ashkach, he found what he was looking for. The Tanan, Se'or Shel Chulin, She'nafal L'tocha Isa. So this was a case we talked about many times, where you have two types of se'or. So one is the se'or, which is chulin, and that's now the leavening agent. And you have se'or of truma, which is a leavening agent. Now how about in a case where the initial fall was chulin, the yesh b'kedei lachmitz, and it had enough to leaven now this dough all on its own, and it did, v'chmitza. Now falls in se'or shel truma, or se'or shel kaloy akeren. Now, it also has kedei lachmitz. The thing is that when it fell in, the isa already had sufficient leavening. Any additional leavening ruins the taste. So this is now pagam. It's pagam meikara. So here, the Tanakhama says asur, which is obviously Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Shimon is matir. Now, here's a case which is exactly what Rabbi Yochanan said. It's poge meikara. And Rabbi Meir is chaylik, even though it was pogam meikara or plige. Omer Rabbi Zer, you can't bring a raya from this case. Because, you see, in the case of sourdough, you're right, you may be pogam the taste, but you're mashbiach, the ability of the dough to be an active leavening agent. So maybe that case, the point is that Rabbi Meir says, in order to say something is pogam, it has to be pogam across the board. If it gives you advantages in other issues besides the tam, so then that's not considered to be pogam. Whereas Rabbi Shimon holds, we examine the issue on the basis of its taste merits and nothing else. But you can't bring me a raya from here that in every case of dotein tam levgam where it's pogam afilu meikara, you can't bring a raya from here that Rabbi Meir would still hold that it's usur. That you haven't shown me yet. So Shaine Issa, this case is a different case, the case of Do. Because here, Hoel Vira Uyal Chamea Bakabe Sotachirot, this is now a Do that is suited for using it as a leavening agent for other Do. So Toshma, I think we bring a raya from here. So Or Shal Chumam Vishal Chulim, Shinaflula Tocha Issa. So, we spoke about a number of cases before. One of the cases that we spoke about before was Zev Zeh Goreim. But the case of Zev Zeh Goreim, where you need both Issur V'Heter, is where you need both Issur V'Heter, not where you have both Issur V'Heter. So, in a case where the Issur alone could have achieved the leavening, which is this case, it's not considered to be Zev Zeh Goreim because I could safely ignore the presence of the heter and still do my thing. The point, however, is that since you've got double the amount of leavening agent, it's pogam, right? So it says over here that it's asur. Okay, so this is Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Shimon is matir. If nafal shel terumah techila, then divrei hakol asur. If the truma falls in first, okay, so then it answered it. Then even if subsequently the chulin falls and is irrelevant, but if chulin falls in first and then falls in the Truma. So at that moment, when the Truma falls in, or the Kloya Kerem falls in, at that moment, it's already pogim, because it was already sufficiently chamutz. Over there, it's still Osir, Alibet Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Shimon is Mater. Now, in that case, it's pogim mikora. V'hocha de pogam mikora, v'pligi. Now, I know what you're going to say. You're going to say, well, that's exactly what I addressed before. I told you that that's not a good raya, because in this case, it has the advantage here. So you'll tell me the same thing that Rabbi Zera said a moment ago, that Shiny Isa, that's what you said. Isn't this a classic case of that? Obviously not, because this is a three-part series, and each part is meant to define the part before. Take a look at the Seifa. The Seifa is Yayin Shenafala Toch Adashim. Asur. Now, over there, the moment that it falls in, it's considered to be pogam. Now, of course, you're going to say, how do we know it isn't a cold bean salad? I'll show you in a moment how we know. But over here it says, it's Asur v'Rebbe Shimon Matir. Now, this case is pogam me'ikara, okay? And nonetheless, they're arguing. Now, you're going to say to me the same thing that Ula said before to Reb Chaga. He said, you don't know what you're talking about, because certainly could be talking about cold bean salad, which is mashbiach, and only then it's pogam. Right? That's what you're going to try to tell me. So you're going to say that this is kishishbiach lebesof pogam. You can't say that, because they're not arguing in a case of kishishbiach lebesof pogam. Because that was the earliest case, the case of Nafal Shel Truma Techila. Okay? The Nafal Shel Truma Techila, everybody was made up that it's Aser. How could Rabbi Shimon be made up that it's Aser? Because at that time, it was Mashbiach. So even though afterwards the Chulin wrecks it, now it becomes overdone, we don't care about that. That's the equivalent of cooking the beans. If you cook the beans afterwards, so that would be the same thing as the chulin being no fill afterwards. And yet, he was made it that it's usher. So don't try to tell me that we're talking about a case yishbiach lebesof pagam, and only there Rebbe Meir ushers. Rebbe Meir is ushering, obviously, in the case was pogam initially. So what happened over here is that the inclusion of both of these cases makes it impossible for us to get out of the unavoidable conclusion. Because if we try to explain one case as being a case where it was Mashbiach Lebesof Pogam, then we'll say, but so then what are you going to do about that case? In that case, you can't say, well, maybe Mashbiach Lebesof Pogam is the only machlokes of Rabbi Shimon, because then what are you going to do with the case of the Truma? There's no way out of this, you see. That a Rabbi Meir is answering, even if it's pogam milchatchila. But meanwhile, we've also seen that we were wrong before when we said we can't bring a raya about what Rabbi Yochanan meant. Because obviously, this Tosfa says, you see, when we were taken for granted, we've definitely proven that Rabbi Shimon is Meida, where it was first Mashbiach. That's how this whole proof works out. If we're trying to reconstruct the case Alibet Rabbi Meir, so that we don't have a raya that is arguing even what was pogam milchatchila, and we end up saying, well, you can't say it's the other way around because then Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Meir, it's usher. So that means that what we said a moment ago was a teiku, is being taken for granted, is being known. Which, of course, is the way we looked at it all through the circuit. We now have, indeed, a raya to Rabbi Yochanan's approach, namely that the machlokes is bepogam ikara, and now we know what is Rabbi Yochanan's approach, only bepogam ikara. But indeed, if it was mashbiach v'tchila, Rabbi Shimon would be made. We've got three cases, all right? Now, I'd like to understand why we need three cases. We've got two cases with the sa'or, and then we've got the case of the adashim. So, now, it's true that we really have four cases, because the Sa'or case really has the additional distinction of nafal shel truma tchila or nafal shel chulin tchila. Not only nafal together. So we should have said we had four cases. But the truth is that we don't really need the part. It's nafal shel truma tchila that was important, or was pogim tchila. The nafal shel chulin, that already, we're bringing that now as the end of the explanation, nafal shel chulin truma. So it's all viewed as one thing. They're all completely interrelated. But why would we need three cases? Now, I understand why we need the last case. You just use the last case to prove that in the case where it falls into the Adashim, or it falls into the Grisim, even though it's Pogemi Kora, that Rabbi Meir holds it at us. I understand that. I also understand the middle case, because the truth is I don't even know the last case, but I don't know the middle case. Because I need first to know that Rabbi Shimon would be Meida in the case where it was Mashbiach. So I know that middle case. Mitziata Nami, if it was Mashbiach, that's the case of the Truma. In the end, it's Pagam. Dibriya call us. Fine. Now Rabbi Shimon is Meida. I need that case. What was the point of beginning with the case where they fell in together and there was sufficient in either of them together to conclude the chimutz, and therefore it's aser, the seifa where there's no shevach at all. The Rabbanan aser, so obviously in the reisha, the Rabbanan will aser, so the reisha is no chiddush at all. Reisha, the kamishabea. What would be the possibility to say that Rabbi Meir would be moder? What's the case? What's the chiddush? We know Rabbi Meir asers even where it was begim yikor from the last case. Rabbi Shimon is meida, even if it's mishabeach from the middle case. Why are you bringing me this? It can't be for Rabbi Meir if it's mishabeach. It's obviously the ganas. Omer Abaye, no, there is a chiddush. The chiddush is alibet Rabbi Shimon. I'll tell you why. Because Rabbi Meir is claiming that this case he should be made it. Do we not agree that initially, before the process of the chimutz continues, that it's a shevach? Let's say that it would have been without the yisr, the chatchila. How long would it have taken it to become properly leavened? Would have taken it 2 hours. Now that we've got double the amount of leaven, so in 1 hour it's already leaven. Now it's true that because of that it gets overly leavened. Fine, but then this should be the equivalent of mashbiach l'besof. Okay, you are moed in a case where it's mashbiach l'besof pogim. So why aren't you moed to be in this case? That's the question. So we need to know, I'll leave it to Rabbi Shimon, that despite the fact that a process that began with Shevach, temporarily, it's on its way towards Kilkul, that which is caused by Isser, should nonetheless be Mutter. That's the timing. And what is Rabbi Shimon's response to that? Why indeed is that not true? Now again, don't try to tell me that the reason indeed it's not true is because of Zev Zeh Gorein, which Rabbi Shimon holds as mutter. No! Because Zev Zeh Gorein is only true where you need the two of them to achieve the desired result. Over here, each one of them would be mechametz on its own. Now, it's true, there's subtleties here, because Rabbi Meir, his whole attack, Rabbi Meir's entire attack, is based on the fact that there's a temporary shevach, which is achieved with the use of the Isser as well. That temporary Shevach is Ein Bezet Kedei L'Achmitzvah, Ein Bezet Kedei L'Achmitzvah, but that doesn't bother Rabbi Meir, because he's not concerned for Zev Zegorin. Don't try to answer me that this is called Zev Zegorin, because ultimately you have sufficient to achieve it. This is how Tosus understands it. And that's why the Gemara effectively ignores the Zev Zegorin issue, even though you would say, but temporarily it's Zev Zegorin. That's not the point, that it's temporarily Zev Zegorin. The point is, says Rabbi Shimon, is that kishishbichu shneim hishbichu, or kishapagmu shneim pagmu. Now, this is a meta taruvas, because consider what's happened. Up until now, we've been discussing the question where Isser falls into heter. And now where Isser falls into heter, we have this concept of hishbiach ala besof pagam, where Rabbi Shimon is meta, correct? But over here, a taruvas of Isser v'heter was nafal heter. So now the question is it taruvas of Isser v'heter considered to be an Isser in a taruvas because it's mashbiach b'tchila? That's the question. So this is now one level up, you see. It's not very complicated. It's the same idea, which Gemara is going to ask in a moment. Why don't we first decide what's the state of the initial taruvas of the chulin and the truma? And then you should say, okay, so you have a taruvas of Isser that asks, so why isn't it a taruvas of Isser that's mashbiach l'besof pagam? Fine, that is a question, which we'll get to. But right now the Gemara is assuming that we have a right to distinguish between the two things, and indeed, that's Rabbi Shimon's answer. Rabbi Shimon's answer is, look, kishish bichu, for that period, that first hour, where it wasn't overly chamutz, it was just right. So that was achieved with both of them together, correct? But the pagam was achieved also with both of them together. So this is in the entire process. It's Isser v'heter and not Isser. So what, says the Gemara? So then, L'Rebbe Shimon, L'Tzarif v'heter Isser v'hadi adadi. I don't understand. If there's no problem with Zev Zagorim, that's not what you're saying. So then, we're talking about a taruvas. A taruvas is Osir. You start with a meta taruvas of the Isser v'heter leavening agents. So why don't we first decide those leavening agents are usr? Now, for the first hour, they're mashbiyah. The fact that it's pogem la'achar is Rabbi Shimon is meida, that if it's first mashbiyah, that then afterwards you can't lose the isr if it was first mashbiyah. So how does this help him? So it should be litzarif b'hadi adadi and then litzar. There's got to be something else going on here. Now it turned out that the very se'if that we thought was least important ends up being most subtly important, Alibid Rabbi Shimon. Indeed, says the Gemara, this is Rabbi Shimon l'shitato. Because Rabbi Shimon's shita is that even Isser and Isser is not mitztarif. Koshken Isser v'heter is not mitztarif. So in other words, unless you begin with pure Isser of one type, then you are not able to be mitzarif a concept called Isser. It has to be the Isser. For instance, and this is the famous case, Titznag. Ha'orlo kaloya kerem. Now, what is the value of putting orlo and kaloya kerem together here? The shear normally is something that has the same shiur, is, according to us, is able to be mitzarif. That's how we passed it. Both orlo and kaloya kerem, pa'aser one part in 200. Truma is one part in 100. Normally, Serum, one part in 60. Fine. But since they're the same shear, Orla and Kalaya Karen, they are mitzarev. So if you have, let's say, you have a smaller proportion than 1 in 200. Let's say you have 1 in 400 now of the Kalaya Karen, and 1 in 400 of Orla. Now you put the two together and you end up having 1 in 200 between the two of them. So you have a higher proportion. It's mitztarif, and now the whole portion is osir because it has isir mixed in it. But Rabbi Shimon says, no, you can't be mitztarif to isir. So you're telling me you can't be mitztarif to isir, but you can be mitztarif isir v'heter? To take the isir of the truma over here, the sor of the truma, to be mitztarif with the sor of the chulin? There's no such thing. Therefore, this is Rabbi Shimon l'shitato. And it works out perfectly well. So that first machloket that we had between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Meir in the case of the Chsor Shechul and Chsor Shechul that fell in simultaneously was actually quite information full. Wasn't an extra piece. Well, what's interesting about the construction of this thing is that all of them are interrelated. You can't really understand one of these bavot without understanding all three of them. Because you only get to be able to work backwards after we introduce the sugya to you this way. So when you get to the very end, you see, So then that implies that Rebbe Meir is chaylik, even where it's pegim milatila. Because now I know that I can't explain it by saying that it's because it was Bashbiach Lebesov Pogam, because then the second Bava wouldn't have been true. And now I understand that was Rebbe Meir was dining against Rebbe Shimon in the first Bava, was why isn't this case similar to the second case that I haven't even heard yet? So it's really constructed backwards. I've given the information. Now I work out the significance of the information from the end up. So it's really, it's a beautiful construction here, this bright. Now, there was a Maisa speaking of the question of the Nevela. Now, this is a very interesting question. The Machlokas, we started off, look how this has evolved. We started off with the question of Noten Tam Livgam as something which is in and of itself certainly edible. Now, because the taste that it imparts to something else is a taste that is pogum, we have a machlokas whether that thing is butter us. So Rebbe Meir, in order to explain the idea of the nevela and ger connection in the Torah, claimed that that's only coming to tell me that something that is disgusting up front is not considered to be an isser. But certainly, if it's not disgusting up front, it's a live animal that's nauseating, and you nobody would eat it, something doesn't become mutter just because afterwards the taste is not the best taste. So we've now gone from the taste to the object itself. But we're all agreed. Rabbi Shimon says the object itself. I don't even need a pusik for that. Now that's very interesting, because the pusik assers things that people find disgusting. And nonetheless, the Torah goes out of its way to say it's osur. Now, I thought Rabbi Shimon said, well, wouldn't you need a pasuk for that? To say that it's butter. It's not food. So what are you implying when you tell me it is food? How do we relate the din of the nevela to the ger to the fact that the Torah says you can't eat shratzim? I mean, it seemed to tend in opposite directions. The nevela to the ger has to be good enough that it would be, actually wouldn't turn anybody off. But something which most people are turned off by, that the Torah still is going to define as being awesome. That's a little bit weird. And that leads us to discuss the very next case where this mouse happened to bail out of a plane that was flying directly over a barrel of beer, or perhaps it was a little bit overly attracted to the beer. So Ahu Akbar, the Nafala Kavita the Shikra, what a way to go. So the mouse falls right into this barrel of beer and drowns. By the way, it is a very effective way. It's a great way to get rid of a lot of bugs, and they leave out a little thing of beer. Ah, it's great. Don't have any problems in your house. A better mousetrap.
For mice also.
I don't know. The bugs like to fall into these things. Beer. Very attractive.
Real beer.
Well, I don't know. I never tasted, actually. I never tried out the difference between Heineken and Maccabi. Could be it's only Israeli beer. I don't know. We'll have to try it. So it falls into this big barrel of beer. And Rav said the beer is usr. Now this is really strange. Why is the beer usr? There's certainly no taint on the gun. Amrur Rabbanan Kameda Rav Sheshet. So apparently, Rabbi Meir holds that no tein tam levgam is usur. I mean, Rav holds like Rabbi Meir, the no tein tam levgam is usur. Why else would he hold that a mouse in beer is usur? Omar Rav Sheshet, not necessarily. It could be that under normal circumstances, Rav holds no tein tam levgam is mutar. But if you consider why a mouse is usur in the first place, then you have to conclude that that's the point.
The mouse is maus.
Excellent. So, is since over here the hamimas mouse? This is minus mouse. So it was mimas in the first place. And bedile in chimine, nobody would go and eat this mouse and put it on the barbecue. And nonetheless, Aser Rachmana, the Torah says it's Aser. So then that's the Chiddush, that even though it's no Tein Tam Livgam, that taste particularly of Mo's mouse is Aser. No, that's a different thing. Omrele Rabbonin L'Rib Sheshet. If that's the case, now the Rabbonin here are making a great leap, which he's going to address in a moment. Rabbonin said to Rib Sheshet, if this is the case, then that should be true about Tum'ah as well. Now, that would mean that if the mouse is now desiccant and is completely and totally not that which you would relate to as being a suitable mouse, nonetheless, that should make no difference at all, and the mouse should remain tame, despite the fact that it's all decayed or dried out. What would be the difference now if anyway people are not going to be taking any account of whether it's still a squishy mouse or it's completely dried out as a mouse, and nonetheless, the Torah asserted it, which must mean that it's irrelevant to us what its state is. So why wouldn't it be metami both lach and yavesh? Why then does it say in the Mishnah beferish alam etzlan metamim lachin ve'in metamim yaveshin? So you see that even though the Torah asked it, we don't view it as a chiddush to say it doesn't matter, don't think about it, and so on. It does matter. It goes according to its standard form. And according to you, but are we going to arguing now about the din of shechvat zera? We're over there. It says beferish. I mean, certainly nobody's going to go squishing around shechvat zera for no reason. That's just as most as a mouse. And yet, so what is the reason for that? You didn't ask me about semen. You asked me about mice. Why don't you ask me about Shechvat Zera? Because you know why. You understand that the nature of the pasuk that says Shechvat Zera is specifically referring to Shechvat Zera, meaning Beruiyah LaHazriah. You need to have viable sperm in order for it to be metame. So the moment that it's now desiccant, you no longer have living cells. But if that's the case, the same thing is true of the mouse. Because over there it says bimotam. That means in the state that it was at the moment of death. It's missing only that vital spark. But it's still a mouse that you could put back on Dr. Frankenstein's electrodes, shock it back to life. It has to be kain motam.
As
long as it stayed in there long enough to give it time. Well, this is things we'll get to later.
What is
yavesh? In the mouse or in the semen?
A mouse
that's been sitting in a trap for like 3 days, you know, you come back after your vacation. No, it's all dried out.
Alive?
No. Very much not alive. Right. You know, it just add water. Matkit la Rav Shimi Minarda. Rav Shimi Minarda doesn't like this whole thing. Who is to say, just because you happen to think that mice are disgusting, in China they eat mice. Go to the market and it's Olal Shulchan Melachim. This is all a very local response. You don't like mice because you don't like mice. Now all of this is a big chiddush that there are Asher's mice. What if you would like mice? So umi mois v'alo ole al shulchan shel melachim. Omer shivim min ardan. What kind of mouse is ole al shulchan melachim? A field mouse. We're not talking about a field mouse. We're talking about a Harlem mouse, for heaven's sake. So we need a Harlem mouse. Hobbit a davra, hobbit a mata. Field mice are cute. Omar Rava, says Rava, look, let's forget about all this. Discussion is really not Nogea. And we don't go with this Rav Shimi thing at all. So The way now to understand Reb Sheshes, all of this, forget about that. The halacha. The halacha is notein tam v'gam is mutar. So you're saying notein tam v'gam is mutar. What is the explanation of the achbar b'shichra? I don't know. I don't know what Rav was thinking. It could be, achbar b'shichra lo yadar my time in the Rav. It could be because he holds like Rabbi Meir. And imishum de gasavar notein tam v'gam is asa. And we don't pass like that, in which case we don't have to worry about the mice in the beard. Omishum de gasavar notein tam v'gam is mutar. Maybe he likes the taste of mouse beer. I don't know. V'achbara b'shichra, ashbuchi mashbuch. Maybe he holds it's not a bad taste.
Like the word in tequila?
Yeah. So this is your sure sign of it's being good beer. If there's a mouse at the bottom of the bottle, it's clearly an attractive beer to mice.
At the king's table, you have a chocolate mouse.
All right, I think we'll leave it at that for the day. It's Omarula. Machlok et shish biyachol besov poge havo pagami karati v'akom mutar et v'revcha galoula yayin shedafala toch adashim v'chomet shedafala toch grisim asur v'bishum atir v'hocha de pagami karahu uplege omra ula chaga lo meide yada maikom rabbonan to yufte kamotiv should be ashamed of yourself hachma maya skinim got shedafala toch grisim tzodanim. In which case it's an asik mashish biyachal b'sof pagam v'yasu. Rabbi Yochanan Amar b'pogemi karamach loket. Does that mean, says the Gemara Bello, b'pogemi karamach loket? But ish biyachal b'sof pagam. Even Rabbi Shimon would be made in divrei kol tzaser. Or is he saying bein bezo mach loket? Take Omer b'amram. Is it possible that efshal adi Rabbi Yochanan v'lo tani la b'matnita? That Rabbi Meir is holding that it's usher even where it's pogemi yikara. I'm going to find him a car. Nafak dak veshkach. Tetzlan se'or shokulim shenafala tocha isa. V'yesh po kedei lachmitz v'yichmitza. V'acharkach nafal se'or shal truma. O se'or shokuloya kerem v'yesh po kedei lachmitz asur. Rabbi Shimon batir. Na'ocha pogam meyikarahu. And nonetheless he's polig. Om Reb Zer, that's not called Pagam Beikara. Maybe it's because Shani Isa, however, we yellow hamea Pagam Isa Tacheron. But bring me a raya where there's no value, and it's entirely Pagima that Rabbi Meir would hold its author. Okay. Tashma. Sa'or shal truma vishal chulin. Shanaflula toche Isa. Bezekede lachmitz, bezekede lachmitz. Vechimtu. Asur. Right up front. Rabbi Shimon Matir. Nafal shatruma techila, dibre akol asur. Nafal shachulin v'achakak nafal shatruma osher kloya kerem asur. Whereas in that case, Rabbi Shimon is matir. Now, the case over here was pogam meikara, where first it was completely chomutz with the chulin. What's the point of saying that it's asur if it's pogam? You see that they're plege. Now, don't try to tell me, because it's now more valuable because it's more mechamea, because then how would you explain the seifa? Tashmami seifa. Hayayin shenafala toch hadashim, v'chomet shenafala toch grisim is aser, Rabbi Shimon Mater. Now, over here, it's pogim mi'ikara, and they're arguing. So now you'll try to get out of this one by saying, that it's talking about kishish biachol v'sof pagam. No, that's impossible because of the previous case. Because in that case, katani nafal shal truma techila divriachol asur. Why? Because of the fact that it was initially mashbiach, and even Rabbi Shimon is made of that initially mashbiach. It's considered to be awesome. So clearly, there's no way out of this. And a love shmamina bebagami karam machloket shmamina. So now, why do we need three cases? I understand why I need the last case. I mean, that ended up being the makar of the riot to Rabbi Yochanan that Rabbi Meir argues even bepogemi karam machloket. Fine. I understand why I need the second case, the mitziata nami, because I need to learn that if it's first mashbiach where the truma falls in, and then the chulud falls in, or the besof pagam, that divrei hakol it's osur. But I don't understand what I need the first case of falling in together for. What's the chiddush there? If the seifa, the loka mishabeach kala, in the seifa there's no value at all, because it's completely ruining the bean salad over here. And nonetheless, he holds it's osur, according to Rabbi Meir Rabban. So in the reisha, where a short period, it tastes better. So it's mashbiach. Obviously, it's going to be osur. No, according to Rabbi Meir. It's not for Rabbi Meir. You see, it's the chiddush is the Rabbi Shimon. The point over here is, Rabbi Shimon. So now, how is it that it became so tasty after an hour? The iser in it. Rabbi Shimon says that's not a problem. That's not a mashbiach l'vesof pagam. Because over here, kishbichu shneem ishbichu, including the heter. Okishpogmu shneem pogmu. So what? But according to Rabbi Shimon, why aren't we mitzvah? The heter v'yisuf adi adadi to aser the subsequent tarovet. That's because Rabbi Shimon knows the shitato that afilu iser v'iser is not mitzvah. Ditzana or lovik laker mitzvah. Rabbi Shimon omer mitzvah. The koshik and iser v'heter is not going to be mitzvah to aser something else. Ahu achbara the daf alakavita the shichra. Ase rav lau shichra. Amru rabban kmein the rabshesh et nemak asavar no ten tam livgam asur. Omalu Rav Sheish said, no, it could be that Biyamas of a Rav, like Rabbi Shimon, that no ten tam livgam is mutar. But he says to himself, so how do you explain the fact that the Torah needed to aser a mouse? I mean, it's a chiddush, because basically the mouse is mimas mois, bedili nishmine. Rav Shimon said before, you don't even have pasuk to tell me the case of Tzuruach Meikar. Nonetheless, the Torah says it's aser. So what does that teach me? That it's not really no gear that it tastes horrible. So if that's the case, no taint on the gum is also aser. Omrulei rabbanu Rav Shesh, so then shouldn't it be the same thing with gabe tum'ah? So we should be unconcerned for how the state of the mouse is the gabe tum'ah as well. Why isn't it then that it should be metami in all states? So the tami lach v'yovesh. Why is it that it says in the Mishnah metami lachim ve'ein betami yaveshim? So Rav Sheish said to them, but according to you, why is semen metame lach v'yavish? It should be metame lach v'yavish. And you very scrupulously avoided asking me about that. Because you also understand shichvat zera amarachmana b'ru uyala azriya. If that's the case, b'motam amarachmana ke'in motam. What are you talking about? That because it's Moes to you. Why is that called Moes? Halo olel shulchan shel melachim. Om Reb Shimi min Ardola kasha. Ha b'de dabra. Ha b'ne mata. Om ha-rava hilchata noten tam gam mutar. And I don't really know what Rav is thinking about Achabar Rav Shichra. Lo yadana my time Rav might be Mishum to Kasar in general noten tam gam is asur. Well, that's let hilchata kabat. It might be because he holds that actually Otena and Tam of Gam is mutter, except he happens to think that the mice in beer is very tasty. So Agavar Bashir Bashir Zashbuche Mishpach. Following is the daf from the year 2003 in the previous cycle. We're holding on that Samaches on an olive in the Sechas Avedazora. We were talking about Nosin Tam Livgam, and so far what we've seen is a machlokis Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Meir, that according to Rabbi Meir, it seems that even a Nosin Tam Livgam is Osir. And according to Rabbi Shimon, only a Nosin Tam Lishevach is Osir, a Nosin Tam Livgam is Osir. And we saw yesterday that the machlokis seems to be dependent as to whether we will learn out the din from Geula Yakum. So over there the Torah tells us that by Geula Yakum we had to clean out the containers of the Yakum. And even if the containers were within the first day, there's some element of Pagam from having a taste in a container, which implies that every Meisitam Lugam is Osir, or whether we learn out from the case of Nevela Leger that only something that is Ru'uya Leger, something that is suitable to give to the Ger, is considered to be Osir. But if it's Pagum, then it's considered to be Mut. Now that's how we learned yesterday the Machlokas, and we had a number of different approaches as to how it is that we're really comparing the Tzedukis. We recognize that there were two levels of Nathan Tamil Gam, possibly even three levels. One of the Pagam Purta, which is that first 24 hours. The other a Pagam because of a Bli'ah, something that's been absorbed. And the other a Pagam, even if the thing had been the end, that it would have been Pagum. What appeared to be is that the two shitas that we have over here are extremes. One, Asring, even the most pogum, unless it's a Ruach Mi'ikor, right? Is Rebbe Meir. And the other, being Matir, even the least pogum. That's where we were holding. Now we're up to Omar Ula, and Ula has a different approach. Ula says, Omar Ula, Machlokes, Sheish Biak, Ula Besov, Pogem. The only machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon is in a case where initially the material that falls in gives it a good taste. And it's only subsequently that it's pogem. Avo pogem mei kara divrei hakol mutar. Even Rabbi Meir is made it that if, as soon as it falls in, it gives a tam gam, then it's certainly mutter. Now, obviously, as Tosis points out, Ula does not agree with the analysis that we made yesterday, that the machlokas of Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Meir is dependent in the psukim about whether we should learn out from the Vela Lager or whether we should learn out from Giula Yaakov, because otherwise, I mean, there's no way to make this make sense. And according to Rabbi Shimon, it's mutter when ultimately, it's pro-game, it's pro-game Ikar, it doesn't seem to matter. According to Rabbi Meir, it's talking about the Nevela was pro-game Ikar. So he apparently holds that the Machlokas, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon, is purely in terms of logic. It's not a question of deriving it from the pasuk. That certainly there are two types of pagam, something, Be'en is pogrom, it's considered to be mutter. It's just that Rabbi Meir holds that since something that falls in, if it's initially mashbiach, so then at that point the iser, the shema iser, is chal on it, and you can't take off that shema iser later on by doing another pu'ula or by having the situation change and now it doesn't taste good. Whereas Rabbi Shimon says you have to look at the ultimate benefit or lack of benefit of the mixture, and if lamaisa the mixture is bad, can you just move a little bit over? If the mixture is bad, ultimately it doesn't matter if there was a period during which it was good before it turned sour. Basically, I haven't gotten anything out of this mixture, and therefore it's mut. Eisei Reb Chaga l'Ula. Reb Chaga asks Ula, according to your approach, that Rabbi Meir is also Maida, that they said Tam Lefgam, if initially it's based in Tam Lefgam, it's Buta. How do you understand the following? We have the case of Yayin Shinafalatok Adashim, V'chomet Shinafalatok Grisim. You have wine that falls into these lentils, or you have vinegar that falls into the cereal we were talking about yesterday. It's osir. Now, it says it's osir. It's lotora, osir, even though it gives a pagam right away. That was the case we had before. And Rabbi Shimon is matir. So you see that even though hocha de pagam mei karahu, even though in here initially when it first falls in it gives it a horrible taste, nonetheless, plegay, there's still a machlokas is Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon. How can you say that Rabbi Meir is Meida, that if it's pregim me karo, that it's okay? Omar Ula, so Ula said, you know, Rav Chaga comes along to ask me a kasha.
What a mishigas. Chaga lo midi yada makam rabbanon. This Chaga character doesn't know a thing to understand what the rabbanon is talking about. And he comes and asks kashas from what he doesn't understand. To yufta kamaisik, what he comes to ask a question when he can't figure out what it's referring to. Haku am I asking? The case here is kegon shenafala tov v'sim tzonanim v'yitichan. It's not that initially it fell in and ruined the taste. On the contrary. As we said yesterday, initially, when it falls in, if it's cold, then it's a good taste. And people make salads this way all the time. It's only when you boil it afterwards, it's like eating oatmeal with vinegar. So then, in a chinami, that's horrific. So it's kinatik emishish biyakulat sofagam, yasa. It's only because afterwards you boiled it up, that's why it becomes the Hishbiach first, and that's why it's usher, because Rabbi Meir, as I say, Rabbi Meir holds that it's Mashbiach, then definitely it's considered to be usher. Hatosis just wants to clarify one point, and this is an important point, that we said before that the Machlokas Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon was referring to in the Vela. That's not real again. Do you remember that there was a question of whether we're talking about Saruach Mi'ikar? And Saruach Mi'ikar means that it was totally useless, even when it was alive, it was a Mukashkin, was the way Rabbi Meir learned it. Or if L'chatchila, the meat was good, and then the meat turned bad. Isn't that the case of that it's L'chatchila good, and then it's bad, and yet Rabbi Meir said it's usur? How does Ula say that according to Rabbi Meir, it's only if it's pogay mi'ikara that it's us? And Tosis explains the obvious difference. I'm just talking it out, even though it's so obvious, but Tosis felt it was necessary to speak it out. Remember that Ula is talking about mixtures. In mixtures, we have a completely different issue that we have to determine. The question is, did the Torah answer a mixture because the Nisim Tam is something that is beneficial, or is it just that the taste is there? That's where they're arguing about. As far as whether the nevela per se is usur when it has a bad taste, or whether it has to be totally saruach, that's a completely different issue, you see. That's understanding what is the usur nevela. Over here we're trying to understand what is the meaning of tam ki ikar that the Torah asks. There's no comparison between the two, obviously. All Ula is talking about is in a case of mixture. What the din is Aliba Rabbi Meir. So he's saying that even Aliba, even, I mean, Goshitas will be made that L'chatchila, if something gives a good taste, that it's considered to be awesome. Yeah. So now, Ula just answered the question that Rav Chaga asked him by saying that it's talking about that initially, when the vinegar fell in, it was cold. Now, Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with Ula completely, and he says, no. The pegein mi'ikara machlokas. The machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon is talking about where it was pegein mi'ikara, and afal pi ken Rabbi Meir holds that it's usur, despite the fact that the taste up front was not a good taste. Now, it's not clear what Rabbi Yochanan means. I mean, does Rabbi Yochanan mean, if you boil it, b'poge mi ikor ha-machlokas avol ishbiach l'besof pogam divrei ha-kol aser, odilma bein bezu machlokas. What was Rabbi Yochanan meant? What did he mean to say? Did he mean to say, the only machlokas Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon is if l'chatchila it was poge, but if initially there was a good taste, then Rabbi Shimon would also be made that it's aser? Or did he mean to say that Ula is wrong in saying that Rabbi Meir is Maida, that it's mutter if it's pergim mi'ikara, and that actually Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon argue across the board whether l'chatchila tastes good or whether l'chatchila tastes bad? As long as in the end it tastes bad, Rabbi Shimon is matir, and even if it tastes bad, l'chatchila, Rabbi Meir answers. So they argue in the extremes. That's not clear for Rabbi Yochanan what he meant. Take, we are not certain about that. Now, the truth is we're going to see that we do become certain about that. But as Tosis points out, there are places where the word teku doesn't mean that something remains forever unknown. It means that in terms of this conversation in the Beit HaMidrash, in which we're trying to figure out what Rabbi Yochanan held, they were saying, we don't know. We don't know what Rabbi Yochanan held. Lamaita, the Gemara is going to really bring riots out of the discussion we're going to see. Now, Rav Amram heard over what Rabbi Yochanan said. And he said, is it really possible? Efshar Yisavaz, Rabbi Yochanan, Lotani, Labamas, Nisan. Rabbi Yochanan said that the Machlokas, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Shimon, is even where initially it's pogay. And nonetheless, Rabbi Meir asks, could he say such a thing and it wouldn't be reflected in the Mishnah? I mean, it's such a fundamental issue to say that that's Rabbi Meir's Shita. The Mishnah is written Aliba the Shita of Rabbi Meir. It's not Mishnayat's Rabbi Meir. That means that it's got to be Merumah somewhere. I'm going to go out and find whether we can see the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan in Rabbi Meir. Not Faksa, he went out to go over all of the Mishnayos, Dak, and he was Madaik in each one. Miyashkach, and he found finally a Mishnah that's none, you should say. The Mishnah says in Orla, Sa'or Shel Chulin, Shenafal Latocha Isa. Now here we have a mixture of flour and water, and into it falls some Sa'or that was not taken meiser. V'yesh bo kedei la'achmitz, v'yichmitza. So this Or Shel Chulin is not a problem, everything is okay. The problem is that after it became already, it rose properly, falls now in some Or Shel Truma, which is also, there's no way to make Or Shel Chulin, you can make, it's already Chulin. Truma, how are you going to be matrit for a Yisrael? For that matter, what if it's Orshel Tvoyakarim? Then nobody's allowed to benefit from it. But it already, remember, was Chametz. So you're not going to help it by adding more. On the contrary, you're going to ruin it because you over-matmit. It's like putting too much yeast into something. V'yesh bo kedei la'achmitz. Now there's sufficient Sa'or there that had it not been for the original Sa'or, the Isa would have indeed become Chometz again. So that means that now I'm adding too much Chometz. Nonetheless, it's also Rabbi Shimon Matir. Now, I don't understand. Why is it also? Over here, as soon as it falls in, it makes it fair taste because there's too much Chometz. So V'ahocha Pagam Mi'ikarahu Pligin. You see from here the Rabbi Yochanan is right that even though as soon as it falls in it gives it a bad taste, that nonetheless Rabbi Meir says it's awesome. And that's exactly what Rabbi Yochanan said. There's no moment here where it fell in that it should taste better because of it. On the contrary, it's always going to taste worse because if you're over matmitz the yeast, so you're ruining it. Omer Rabbi Zera says, Rabbi Zera, from here it's not a riot. Why? Because Shaine Isa, Ho'il Guru, Uyal Chamea Bakame Isot Acherot. You're right that in terms of the taste of the dough itself, it's bad. But is it not so that if I turn this into overly chimuch dough, it becomes sourdough? And then I can use this dough to be Makame Tarifit. So even though it's bad for the taste, but it has advantages also. Because now I get myself a dough that I can use to be Mechamit other Isot. Maybe that's why it's awesome. Even though it's Pogam the Tam, it's Mashbiach in terms of Chimutz. But show me a case where it doesn't have any advantage, and that Rabbi Meir argues, and then you'll be able to prove Rabbi Yochanan's assertion that Rabbi Meir argues even in that case. By the way, it's very interesting that this Rabbi Zera is only brought into the Gemara Agav, showing that you can't bring a raya to Rabbi Yochanan's assertion from here. And Rav Amram was trying to bring such a raya. Does it stand lahalacha? It's clear from the Rambam that what he says is nonetheless true lahalacha. Even though he was only bringing in his adichui of the raya, that this makes tremendous napkaminas. And again, the most famous case is the gelatin problem. Where over there we may have something that in its initial creating the gelatin is bad, gives a very bad taste because of the chemical processes. But since the product that I get is usable in gelling other things, which is the equivalent over here of a lechami, so an emulsifier is the equivalent of anything that in is beneficial ultimately in a mixture, whether it's through chimutz or through emulsification and so on, it's considered to be there still in Aser. So maybe even though it's bad, the taste is bad in the original mixture, but it's good in that ultimately it causes me to get a product that can be emulsifying other things. And the Asiezer brings in his famous tshuva, brings this question of Rebbe Zeller, Agabi, the question of the Jonas. You never know when a side comment becomes very fundamental in discovering the ultimate halacha. It can't, right, it has to be sufficient to be mechamek, or it leaves it in a middle state where it's iffy. Right. If it needs the other one, then we get into all kinds of other issues, which is evizagerim and whether it could have really caused chimus and so on.
So,
yeah, but that's a different issue. That's not for right. That's a different question. Toshma. So or shall teruma v'shel chulin shenaflu l'toch ha'isa. Now, we continue with the same question in a slightly different case. Suppose kosher sa'or, in the sense that it won't be also for a zar, and truma sa'or fall together into some dough. Either of them could have been mechames without the other. So uvzekedelachmitz. And they end up being machmitz. And now, of course, it's going to be two machmitz. It's us. Rabbi Shimon is matir. Now, this case doesn't prove anything to us yet. But how about this case? Nafal shel truma techila. Let's say that first the truma falls in. Now, divrei hakol asur. Because before you ruined it, by throwing something else into it, it had a tam of iser. Okay, so that's us. But how about nafal shel chulin? Let's say the chulin falls in. And now there is sufficient there to be mechametz. Now falls in addition to the chulin, nafal shel truma, o shel kaloy akera. So now at this point, all of a sudden something else falls in, and now this is pogeimi kara. Yeah. We're going to discuss. We're going to explain why we can't say the same thing. And in this case, we see that Hacha the Pogam Mi'ikara, Pligat. You see that even though initially it's a Pogam, they're still arguing. And now if you're going to tell me as Rav Eib just did, but we already discussed that. Rechi Tema, you'll try to tell me Hacha Nami can Rebbe Zeira, it's the same answer that we said before. Namely, as Rebbe Zeira pointed out, that over Chimutz is at least beneficial vis-a-vis using this as sourdough, that can't be the answer, because it continues on to say, Shoshmami Sefer. It says in the last piece, Hayayin Shenafala Toch Adashim, V'chomet Shenafala Toch Grisim Asur, V'Rabbi Shimon Matir. Now, in this case, as soon as the vinegar falls into the oatmeal, it's pogi. So, Hakanami de Pagam Mi'ikara Pligi. Now, I know what you're going to say. You're going to say, well, we discussed this too. We already explained, as Ula was yelling at Rav Chaga, that it's talking about that first it fell in when it was cold, and so it was Mashbiya, and then Lebesov Pagam. That's what you were trying to try to tell me, right? So, Vachite, Hakanami Kedishrami Le Ula Le Rebbe Chaga. Kishbiyach Lebesov Pagam. That's not true. Because umi plige tishishbiach lebetov pagam, is there indeed a machlokas if initially there was shevach? I thought we said a moment ago. And this is why we need to bring both cases, because one proves the other, you see. We just said that if the truma fell in first, that it's definitely usher, even according to Rabbi Shimon. even though in the end you do the equivalent of boiling it up by adding more chemutz of chulin, and now this truma is contributing to an over chemutz, nonetheless you're telling me that since initially it was mashbiyah, that everybody is moida, that it's aser. Because I'm studying not for the truma tchila, the way I call aser. So clearly now, if you take all these three cases together, there's no way for us to avoid the conclusion that Rabbi Yochanan was right, and that there's a machlokas of Rabbi Meir, even in a case where it's pogemik or shmamina. Indeed, we see that to be true. Now, the question, however, remains, why do we need all of these cases? Why do we need three cases? Namely, we start off with the first case where they fall together. And that goes on to that additional case, the secondary case in the ratio. Then we have the middle case, where Truma falls in first, and then you add the Kulin. And then you have the final case of the wine with the adashim, and so on and so forth. Why do we need all three? So Bishleima, thank you. So Bishleima, Boba, the Seifa Kamash Malon. Now the last case, I know already why I need it. I need it because we just used it to prove that the Machlokas is proposing me correct. And that Rabbi Yochanan was right about the assertion that Rabbi Meir, in such a case, would also hold that is us, even though the first time it touches it, it already asks it. The middle case, I also know why I need. Because if I didn't have the middle case, I would have been able to answer the last case by claiming it was talking about Rav Kaga, with the answer the ruler gave Rav Kaga, namely that first it was cold and then you boiled it. So I have to show that that's not a solution. And that I can only prove by the middle case, where originally it was good, and then it went ahead and got bad because he added too much, which is the equivalent of boiling. So those two cases are really a pair of cases. We need them both in order to be able to prove anything. So mitziyata, I need the middle case also to prove that he's viakul of a sofa, gamzi viakul asur. That certainly Rabbi Shimon would be made there, where originally it was a shevach, and then it became a pagan. I don't understand what the point is in the case of the Reisha where the Truma and the Chulin fall together, and now it's not, it doesn't seem to be saying anything that I don't know from the other cases. So what's the point of it? Hashtu Ma'Seifa Delomik Shabaya Klal. If the case of the Sefer, where there's no advantage whatsoever to having the oatmeal mixed with vinegar, no advantage. And over there you're saying that Rabbi Meir asks. So in the case of the Reisha, whereas Reb Zera pointed out there's some advantage, namely, even though it may taste horrible, but there's at least an advantage in terms of using this dough to be mekamea other dough. So for sure the Rabbanu would ask, no? So Ma'Seifa delo mikom mishabeach klal asks Rabbanu. If in the Seifa, where there's no advantage whatsoever, Rabbi Meir asks, Reisha the Kamishabeach mi boy, is there a question that in the initial case, where at least they have Rav Zera Shevach, that for sure they would ask? Omer Abaye says, Abaye, you've gotten so caught up in trying to see that this is a raya, something for Rabbi Meir, you're not focusing on the Chiddush in terms of Rabbi Shimon. The Reisha is there in order to teach something about Rabbi Shimon, sheet of Achikom Alei Rabban of Rabbi Shimon. The Rabbanan were signing to Rabbi Shimon, even if you hold that a Nathan Tam Ligam is mutter, at least be made in this case that it has an advantage in that in terms of being Mechamea other Isaacs, it's better. It tastes worse. So Isa Zuru Uyala Achmit. Now, let's consider the opening case. We have the Truma and we have the Chulin that fallen together. Now, initially, what happens initially? Initially, before it becomes over, mechumas, right? It's going to now have more of the enzymes in it to cause chemus. So it will become now better tasting more rapidly, right? So normally, let's say it would have taken 2 hours until the bill rises. Now you have so much in there, it takes only 1 hour. Now at that point, isn't it an advantage? Forget about when it turns bad, okay? So now, at that point, nigaram l'shetachmitz b'sha'achat. So how is it that now it only took an hour to reach the stage at which it's good? Isser. So the isser should now be answer at that point. Because you're made if it starts off now being m'shabeach, no? Says Rabbi Shimon, yes, it's true. But kishishbichu, shnehem ishbichu. Who kishapogmu, shnehem pogmu. It's true that it is Isser, but it's not only Isser, it's also other things. And since it's other things, they both have the same share in it, and we can't say that there's the element of the Isser that we will Isser. No. And we'll see in a moment, it's not Zebizegorim. Because the Gemara asks, so what? The Rebbe Shimon litzaref hefer v'yisr v'hadei habeli. Why don't we say that, okay, but there's a tziruf. So the part of the tziruf of the yisr is nikur here, and that should be enough to answer. So it says, why don't we just simply make it dependent on the yisr as habajash just this, as ever they go in. So say the machlokas over here is the same machlokas we've had all along of zeva zegorin. And here is where Tosis is machadish, a very important thing, in which he says that zev zegorim, the machlokas, whether it's us or mutter, is only in a case where both elements are required. But in this case, it stated beferish in the case that each one could have been mechametz on its own. Therefore, this is not a function of zev zegorim. It's a question of whether the tziruf of Isser, which is noticeable in its effect, is sufficient to answer the ta'arovet.
So the
zev zegorim is like 1 plus 1. And that's not zev zegorim. Exactly. It's only where 1 plus 1 equals 2 that we say zev zegorim is a question. So now, the problem is, you're asking, so according to Rabbi Shimon, why don't we say that the heter should be mitzvah over here in Aser? That's very simple. Because Rabbi Shimon holds, even if you have two separate Yisurim, they're not mitzvah. Koshkin, if you have a heter and an Isser, they're not mitzvah. Where do we see that? Rabbi Shimon Lataime, this is Rabbi Shimon Lashitato, Yamar Afilu Isser v'Isser, Nami lo mitzvah. It's not. Orla, Ukaloi Hakera Mitztarfim, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Einan Mitztarfim. So here we see that even though you have two similar Isurim with the same Shiurim and so on, nonetheless, they're not Mitztarik to Aser the Tarbutas. In which case, this is Rabbi Shimon Lashitasi, but I need to know that, don't I? So the Mishnah beautifully includes it even in this case, by telling me the ratio, and the ratio is where they both fall in together, and therefore everything else. It's two Isurim, and the Torah, since I can't say this is Osir, because it doesn't have a shear, in what was achieved that I see alone, it was with something else, and I can't say this is Osir, because it doesn't have the shear what was achieved. And Isur is not a generic question. Isur is a specific question. Okay, this is already something that's not very strong in the Gemara, so yeah, but we're just explaining here why we need to bring it in as well. Now, Ahu Achbora the Nafal Chavita the Shikra. It was a very sad case of a mouse who unfortunately slid right into that barrel of beer. Sad for the mouse. Now, the question is, what happens to the beer? Asrei Rav Lahu Shikra. Rav says the beer is not kosher. Now, Tosfos explained, it's got to be talking about that the mouse spends quite a bit of time in that beer. Because otherwise, why would it be usher since the mouse... Why would it be usher? He says that it would have to be kavush in the beer. So it sat there for the whole 24 hours and it became the equivalent of boiled in the beer when something sits in a liquid.
Are we talking about beer brewing, or
it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter when something sits in a liquid, so it's pickled in it.
Yeah.
So Rav said it's usur. So the Rabbanon came to Rav Sheshet, and they said, "Gosh, I mean, a mouse tastes horrible. I mean, why wouldn't Rav say, ugh, disgusting? If you want to drink the beer, go right ahead. If you don't care how it tastes, and there's Nezatam with God." So why does this mean they asked Rav Sheshet, "Name a kasava, Nezatam with God, usur"? So in other words, it means that Rav is fasting that even something that's disgusting tastes as usur. Amalu Rav Sheshet, maybe this is a unique case. Beyond the sova Rav Nesin Tam of Gam Mutter, it may well be that Rav holds that a Nesin Tam of Gam is Mutter, as we saw by Nevela. V'hocha Chidusho, over here, the entire parsha of Shratzim is a Chidush. Because the truth is, Hamim is Mois. These are disgusting things that nobody would want to eat, right? Nonetheless, Ubedili Inshimine, people stay away from these things. Nobody willingly takes a mouse and eats a mouse and eats it. Ba'filuha. And nonetheless, the Gemara is going to ask about Thailand in a minute. It will. Ba'filuha ki atzrei rachaman. And nonetheless, the Torah asked it. So what is the focus of this new issur that the Torah is answering? Hilkach, v'yisitam l'vgam, nami yasi. Now, there's a big machlokas here. Rashi and Tosfos have to understand this. Rashi says something that on the surface appears to be outrageous, and we're going to see what forces him to say it in a minute. What Rashi says is, if anyway people won't eat it, why does the Torah have to tell us not to eat it?
The mouse.
Yeah. Now that seems to be a funny thing to say. I mean, what does that mean? But if somebody does eat it, I won't know that it's usur. That it's usur. He's going to be over a lav. I mean, it's one thing to say I'm personally disgusted by it. It's another thing to say that the Torah usurs it. What the whole Torah is only given in terms of adding things to our personal disgust. But what is that supposed to mean? So therefore, Tosfos says that can't be what it means. It must mean that halachically it makes no sense. Because being, as we've already determined, that a nesin tam with gam is not usur usually, so why then does the Torah ask for something which is nesin tam with gam? It must be that it's telling me that in this case, that's the reason that I want to add these shrotzim, is to tell you there are these cases in which a nesin tam with gam is also usur. And therefore, from that we can derive that even a nice in time of Gaman and Tarum is usur. Very simple. And that's the way, of course, that you and I would have thought that it meant if we hadn't seen the Rashi. Now, what is it that forced Rashi into saying something so weird? Let's take a look at the continuation. Omer le Rabbanan, says Rabbanan, said to Reb Sheshet, well, if that's the case, litame lach v'yavesh. Why isn't it also tame? Even if it's completely dry, because, I mean, the Mishnah says, Allah Matzan, why did it say in the Mishnah, mitamim lachim ve'ein mitamim yaveshim, that a sheretz is only mitame if it still has some lachut in it, but if it's a completely dried up piece of skin that's been lying on the highway as roadkill for the past 2 months, it's no longer mitame, it's not considered to be a sheretz. And what is discussion? Kash makes no sense at all. Therefore, Rashi says, this kash is the same kash. Why would the Torah make something tameh for something that nobody would want to touch? Again, I mean, what the heck does that have to do with anything? I still need to know what things are mitameh, right? No, I mean, apparently that's the question. The tachlis of tuma would be to be marchikas from touching something, which is unbelievable. So why would the Torah be marshikas for touching something? If anyway, who would want to touch it? They say, I don't want to touch that. So l'chora, says Rashi, is the only way to understand the Gemara. And of course, this is problematic to Taisus. So, and how do I explain this? I mean, because where's the chiddush in terms of Tuma? I mean, Tuma doesn't have anything to do with, you know, there's no din of, in general, the Torah says that something that's disgusting isn't tame. So what is this supposed to mean? The Tami Lach B'Yavish. And Tosfos answers that even Legabe Tuma, there is some meaning to the Kiddush that if it's pogame, it's metane. Because something like the Nevela, which was Masarua, is not metane either, because it's Einaru'uya Lager. And therefore we said it's not called Nevela. What is called Nevela? Only Lagera Shebisharecha Tikdena is called Nevela, correct? That's how we explain the juxtaposition of the Nesina Lager to the Dinam of the Nevela. If that's the case, says Taisus, then it means that Lagabe Tuma is also being inconsistent. Why is it that a Nevela that's Saruach is not called a Nevela? But a Sheretz which is Saruach is called a Sheretz. Must be to add some new element, and it's telling us that even though it would be dried out, it would still be called a Sheretz. It's the same logic. That's how Tosfos understands. To which Reb Sheshes responded, and I'll ask you, you could say the same thing about Shechva Zera. It says Shechva Zera is metame only yavesh, as we'll see in a moment. L'shitatchem, you should have asked me that tameich Shechva Zera to tameich lach v'yavesh. We should say the same thing. Why is the Torah metame Shechva Zera if it's not really real agar, so to speak? Essentially saruach, which must mean that it doesn't matter whether it's lach v'yavesh. And yet the Mishnah says, alam it's not metamim lachin v'enam metamim yaveshin. So I'll explain to you why. How do we know that Shechva Zera is not metame if it's dried out? What you'll turn around and tell me is, that's a pasuk. Why does the Torah call Shechva Zera Shechva Zera Bichlal? It's calling it Shechva Zera because Ru'i al Azriya. We're talking about now viable Zera is the point. Not just the Shechva in which viable Zera was once embedded. So that's the way the Torah chooses to refer to this tumah. It means it's telling us Ru'i al Azriya. And once now all the sperm has died, it's not real Azriya. And therefore it's not going to be Metame. In which case, exactly the same thing, you can be Medayik from the Pusik of the Shratzim. Because the Torah says, the Lashon of Bimotam. Kol asher yipol olav mehem bimotam. Why does that say that? To tell me that Dafke ke'in motam. Only if they are in the same state that they were in as they died. That's what it means. Bimotam, as they died. What does that mean? Of course we're talking about Bimotam. And the point is that it's saying that if it's dried out, it's no longer Bimotam. Because it's already gone through this tahlich of decay and dehydration, which is not what the Torah was being Matam. Maskev lo Reb Shimi min Arda. Reb Shimi min Arda asks on the entire Hanakha that a mouse is disgusting. In Thailand, it's a dish that's fit for kings. So how can you say umi ma'is? How can you say that it's mos? Halo oleo shulchan shel malachim? So it can't be. I mean, you could say that alatam alareach, namely tzvakeach. You could say that around here it's not viewed as the best food, but that it's bad. And atam with gam, and that the Torah should, this should be a big chiddush. I mean, the Torah is talking to everybody in all circumstances. So it's just saying, for those of you who may like eating mice, I'm answering it. Maybe that's what it means. Reb Shimi min Arda, come on. Nobody eats mice. What they eat is rodents of the family of mice. That, yes. Hobbididabra, field mouse. That's already a nice, clean creature that you could see people may enjoy. A gopher, whatever. You know. But a mouse that you catch in your mouse trap around all the dirt in your house. Hobbit a matzah people are disgusted with. Three blind minds. Yes, of course, but lemaisa, that's not considered. Our whole discussion over here was in terms of this. Yeah, the mouse that fell into the beer. So that already, hobbit a matzah. Omarava Hilchas a nice in time with Gamutar. Lamaisid Allah is a nice time with Mutar. I don't know what exactly Rav's thinking was. It may be that Akbra Bashikuloyadana my time at Rav. I'm not sure why Rav answered that famous mouse who gave his life for the Sugya. It's either because he holds that Nathan Tom of Gam is Usr, and we don't pass him like him. I don't know. in which case less yochzek avase. Or, you know what? He may hold that mice in beer give a little picante taste, you know? So maybe he holds that an achra b'shichra, maybe normally holds the same time as mutter, but an achra b'shichra, ashbuchi mashbach. Maybe he holds that that gives it a little bit of a better taste. So I'm not sure about that. Should we finish up to the Mishnah already? I mean, the question, gentlemen, remains that what Rav is saying over here, Nais and Tam with God, we've already determined. I mean, we said that before, 2 days ago. So what Rav is adding over here has got to be, as Tyson explains, that even in the case of Shratzim, Nais and Tam with God is Mutter, correct? In other words, the whole point now that we are making in Rava is do not think that we should stick to this distinction that somebody is now trying to say over here in explaining Rav that there's a nafka mina between this case and all other cases of Nais and Tam with Gam. I'm telling you, there's no such distinction. Nais and Tam with Gam is mutter, period. And there's no difference between an akbar or anything else. There's no difference between Shratzim and anything else. And therefore, I'm not sure whether the real reason of Rav is that he really holds the Nais and Tam with Gam is awesome, or the reason of Rav is that he holds that it's not a case of Nais and Tam with Gam. Now, the question is the logic of this, because l'chora, what we just said in Rav Sheshet, that the Alma Savar Rav Nais and Tam with Gam Mutter, and that there's a Chiddush HaKrav by Shratzim, seems to be a meaningful statement. If in the equivalent case of Nevela, we would say it's not Ru'uya L'Ger, you try to send a Ger a gift of a mouse, a dead mouse, I mean, for God's sake, so clearly that's not considered to be Ru'uya L'Ger. So, I mean, the logic is inconsiderable. He's right. There's a difference between the two cases. So what's now Rubber coming along and saying, no, it's a meaningless distinction. Why is it a meaningless distinction? So what Lechora we're going to have to say is that what Rava is saying is do not get confused between the two elements of Nais and Tam with Gam, which have to do with the Isser itself, Be'en, or with the din of Tarudas. When you're talking about Tarudas over here, where the mouse fell into the Shifra, immortalized. So the case over there has nothing to do with the din of the Pegima of the mouse per se. Why would that be? Now, we have to understand that there are two general approaches to how the whole thing works of nursing time with Gam in a Taroid. The Rajba Shita is, and it makes wonderful sense in this circuit, the Rajba Shita is that since the Mamashut of a thing is Batel Barov, and that's not the issue here, it doesn't exist anymore as far as we're concerned. The only thing is that the Torah was Mechadesh from the din of Mishrat Anavim by the Nazir, that even the taste of a thing is considered to be awesome. But the very place that the Torah was Mechadish, that halacha, is the taste that is a Shevach, the Mishrat Anavim in bread. And therefore, I have no basis for extending the din of Tam Keiker to anything else. It has nothing to do with what the original taste is. That's not the mocker of the Yisra here. The Makor of the Yisr is the standing halacha of Mishrat Anavim, that adding taste is something that I need to answer as well. What does adding taste mean? It's clear from the Torah. Adding taste means adding the benefit of taste is what it means. Not just that I can detect it. Now again, remember we discussed before whether, and this was the Achronisha discussion, whether the din of Tam Ki Iker is a function of Taruvus in terms of saying, since it is detectable, it's not considered to be mixed, and therefore it's the end. Now that would be a disaster here. Because then, if it's detectable, it's detectable. But not coming to what taste it is. Or whether it's a new halacha that has nothing to do with the dinim of Taruvas, like the dinim of Birya, let's say. Well, if it's still a Birya, it's too harsh. But that's not the point. The point is the Torah is Bechadish and Isser of Tam. If that's the point, then what the Rajva is explaining, that the only time the Torah asks such a thing is where that Tam is like Mishrat Anavim, and it's beneficial. In which case, comes along Rav and says, what's the Nafkamina? Well, Reb Sheshet is jumping from one thing to another. He's saying, since the Torah answers the sheriff, which is a Tam that's program l'chadchila, Mamelin and Taruvus, it's also going to be answering nice and Tam with Gam. That's ridiculous. One has nothing to do with the other. But if you learn all over that the union of nice and Tam with Gam is the way the Ram learns, it's a completely different point. We just go through this whole, he's saying that we learn Gufa Nais and Tam Levgam from the din of Nevela, which is the way the original Gemara mentions the Machlokas, not like Ula, mentions the Machlokas of Rebbe Meir and Rebbe Shimon. So then we've got, so what does the Gemara mean? But Rav is just walking right by this, and he's saying, no, I'm Moda, that ain't a tsunami, it's Nais and Tam Levgam, and it's Ben. But I don't consider Reb Sheshet to be meaningful in terms of the description of the Shita, the Gabi, the Maus, and the Shechar. Why not? How do we understand the Sergei Aliba the Ram? Okay, so this, you see, has given room for a lot of discussion among the Achronim trying to work out the subject. But if we take the straightforward approach, then everything works out beautifully, and it's good to see the distinctions they've made here. Because remember, initially we were trying to figure out, Taisus was trying to figure out, how were we really comparing two completely different elements? The din of Bishul, of Giulei Akum, of Klei Midyan, was talking about something which is a pagam, which is absorbed in something else. And the din of Nevela is talking about where, if the thing was the end, it would have been Saruah. So that the two shitas initially strike us as being on two completely different sides of the field. And here, at last, we see Rava, in terms of our law, actually distinguishes between them. Iboilo. Nafala gochala. You know what, we can leave it till tomorrow already. We've been going for close to 50 minutes. We've done our daf. Saba Josh has to have time to practice. He comes into Mishnah. So we'll wait till tomorrow. No, we don't. That's a good point.